there. I don't believe you're going to meet people in pain there. There'll be no more dying. No longer will our loved ones pass away. No longer will there be phone calls to come around. We found out that someone we loved is gone. They were in an accident. Life changed like that. They were gone. You know, life was going on, and 5 minutes later, they were in eternity. No longer will those calls come. There'll be no lying. There'll be no cheating. You won't realize you didn't read the fine print well enough, and you got yourself into a little trouble on page 76, line 957. There won't be murders. You won't see the news that so-and-so snapped and shot 100 people. We won't see on the news that ISIS hung people up on meat hooks and slit their throats. It'll be perfect. And most importantly, is God will be reigning on his throne there. We won't have to worry anymore. There'll be nothing to worry about. We won't be afraid. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, for me, it's like, dude, it just hits me. It's like, wow, that is amazing. So I'm going to read from Matthew 7. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there are that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Okay, we all want to go to heaven. It seems so good. But now we need to talk about the flip of heaven. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, hell is real this morning. It's as real as it's ever been. It's a place of fire and torment that was made for the devil and his angels. It's a terrible place. Just the fire alone for eternity is terrible. But to be there with the devil and his angels, I believe it would be far more terrible than just the pain of the flames. It's torment. It's anguish. None of the things we talked about in heaven, none of the good things are there. It's complete and 100% isolation from God, from everything good. And I would guess that you'll be able to look back on your life and say, why? Why did I have to have that? Why did I take those baby steps down that road? Why? It wasn't that important. That little bit of fun was not that important when we look back. One thing I thought about is many times I've asked the question, and many times I've heard the question asked, well, is there anything wrong with this? Pretty much okay. You know, I want to say that I believe that's a slippery slope that's landed many people in eternity separate from God. Because where do you stop? I've seen people in 1 year go from there to there, and they said they'd never go past that table. Because they rationalized it 1 centimeter at a time. Very few people rationalize that wall, but they will rationalize to that register that's a half inch from the trim. It's scary. All right, I want to read Matthew 25. Verses 45 and 46. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. and these things and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, for the but the righteous into eternal life. And I want to read Revelations 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then it brings me to a verse I want to read. It's extremely sad if you think about the world. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Very sobering. The first picture I talked about was pretty nice. Next picture is not nice at all. Am I, is anyone here distant from God? I want to say this very carefully. But I would not be shocked that there are people sitting in these very pews that if time was frozen right now, gunmen came in the back, said, all right, we're going to kill all the Christians. If you're not a Christian, you can leave. You can go. You can even fix your life up after you leave. I guess, in a crowd of 200 to 300 people, there are people. Maybe they don't even know. Maybe one of us is deceived. Maybe there's people that know. Maybe people that would get up. Because when you're put down to it, you can't fix anything. Like I said, time was frozen. It could not be fixed. It's a scary thought. Because guess what? Time could be frozen for you any time. It could be frozen for you before church is over. On the way home, you could be driving and be killed instantly. The Lord could return while I'm still talking up here. And it's frozen. It cannot be changed. Little story. There was a mega church, maybe 1,000 people. Sunday morning service has just kicked off. In rushes 3 masked men with guns. And they said, all right, all the Christians, we're going to kill them all. We'll shoot them down, mow them down like flies. If you're not a Christian, you can leave. Many people left. They pulled off their masks. They were 3 elders from the church. Told the preacher, now you can preach to the sincere ones. You know, I don't believe that's our situation today. But I believe that is the situation in our country today and in many churches. You know, we have a tremendous heritage in many good traditions. I like Christmas, turkey on Christmas, Thanksgiving, pumpkin pie. Those are traditions. They're good. We have much better traditions than the holidays, by the way. I'm not saying the holidays are great traditions, but I'm just pointing out. And we have biblical things we do, and we should do them. But what we have to remember is teaching Sunday school, leading out in church, helping our neighbor lady, giving firewood to the poor, witnessing to the unsaved, being baptized, taking communion, doing anything you can imagine that you say a good Christian person does won't get you to heaven. It won't do anything to get you to heaven. You can't work your way there. So I just want to ask, is anyone in danger of missing eternity with God? Do we have sin in our lives? Do we cheat a little, lie a little? Young people, do we rationalize things? Men, do we take a second look at the jogger as we zoom by in our car? Do we truly live for Jesus? Do we really love Jesus? Do we hide sin in our lives because it's too embarrassing to bring it out? It's too hard to talk about it with people. It's too scary. People are going to think we're bad people. What's new? We're all bad people. We're all in desperate need of the blood of Jesus. I'm going to read Matthew 27:50 now. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints were which slept arose, and came out of the grave after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with them watching Jesus saw the earthquake and the things which were done, they feared greatly, and saying, truly this was the Son of God. In Romans 10:9-13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So friends, it's very simple. It's not hard. It's not complex. We can't work it. We can't earn it. But it's a free gift that's there for us. All we have to do is believe and ask. Sometimes I think it's so simple that we completely miss the mark. In desperation, we work for our salvation, and we get nowhere. So, I don't know, there may be some people saying, wow, but Lester, Christians should do good things. You're absolutely right. I'll get right to that. I want to read one more thing, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So it's not that we shouldn't do good things as Christians. If we love God, we will do his will. A little example, let's bring it right down to it. So let's say my wife and I are in Coeur d'Alene. I'm like, hey, babe, see where you want to eat dinner? She's like, oh, Red Lobster would be awesome. Texas Roadhouse it is. Could I really say I love my wife? I'm like, I mean, that's just like totally didn't hear it. We're going to Texas Roadhouse. It sounds awful. It sounds like a real jerk, honestly, if you think about it. But how often do you the same thing? God's word. We know what we should do. But instead we go to Texas Roadhouse. You know, it hit me. But anyway, one thing I want to I want to leave as a closing here. Two things. First of all, if you are not sure that you're ready to die right now, take care of it before Sunday school. Find a brother, find a sister, go pray with them, get it straightened out. You can't take the chance. You cannot take the chance of spending eternity apart from God. Just think. Let's say you're not ready. You could tap the guy beside you on the bench. Dude, I need some help. Let's go pray. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, there's celebration in heaven over that. But let's say a little different scenario. I'll wait till after church. I don't want to do it in church. That's a little awkward. What if your time was up before after church? You can't mess around, guys. Another thing, my last point. Let's stop worrying about the unimportant things, the trivialities. Let's be right before God. You know, we have a little tendency, I have a little tendency, to put Band-Aids on gaping wounds. It doesn't work. Any medical guy will tell you your little butterfly Band-Aid ain't going to do much if you got stuff hanging out the side. It ain't going to help. But I tend to do that, and I believe I'm probably not alone. When we see a brother or sister that's struggling, appears like they're struggling a little bit, they're probably struggling a lot. They're probably on the verge of falling away. Because by the time you see the signs, there's a lot of stuff going on already. And those people need love. They need someone who cares about them. Too often for myself, give them a little pep talk. It didn't help. It was a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. So with that, I want to, that's all I have. Biggest thing that's go from here, let's serve God, put God first. And remember, salvation is so simple that sometimes we get all confused over it. So let's pray. Dear Father, I come before you this morning. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for us, God. Thank you for giving us a plan of salvation, a way to have our sins forgiven. Help us always to love you and put you first. And God, I pray if there's anyone here that's not ready to go, God, I pray they would have the courage to make things right. God, I just pray that your Spirit would convict them and they would see their need to make it right away. God, thank you for your love and so much again for your plan of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.